This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn. I'm Lee Chui Lin. The pleasures of living in a multicultural, racial and religious country are many. Multiplicity of voices, experiences, food, of course, but it's not without its problems. Here today to discuss negotiating those tensions, the role of Islam in a democracy, and the role of a new group, G25, in facilitating that conversation is Tan Sri Awijantan, a member of G25. Tan Sri, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Firstly, I mean, you've had a very long career in public service. Could you tell us about that and, you know, what led you to an interest in government?
Oh, well, I studied in the University of Malaya in Singapore. This was in the early 60s. And then after graduation, I joined the civil service. That was my only choice because I was on government bursary at that time. And I served in a number of ministries, including holding the positions of secretary generals in the Ministry of Agriculture, Ministry of Health, Deputy Secretary General, the Prime Minister's Department. And finally, I was the Director General of Public Service until I retired in 1990. After that, I moved to the private sector. Mainly, I was with the Genting Group, but I also served on a number of other boards of public listed companies. Now, how come I'm getting involved in this? Like the other members of G25, I was gravely concerned at the direction the country was heading. We were actually alarmed that the country was sliding, and some people said it was already spiraling towards a failed state. Good governance and transparency, which are the foundations of a modern progressive state, are being challenged and under threat. Secularism, liberalism, and pluralism, which are embodied in the federal constitutions, are under attack. We see daily occurrences of racial and religious extremism raising their ugly heads, which would lead to serious polarization and anarchy. I was in South America last February, and I saw how countries which had achieved developed nation status regress to underdeveloped nation status due to mismanagement and corruption. We have not even achieved a developed nation status yet. We therefore have decided to speak out, hopefully lending our voice to the silent majority. With our collective knowledge and experience, we feel we are in the position to offer our views without fear or favor, to stop the decline and put the country back on track to achieve our founding fathers' visions for a modern, progressive, harmonious, and happy nation. We are now in the process of reaching out to like-minded organizations, the youth, and those in the rural areas. We have been in existence for almost 2 years now.
This is G25?
G25. Mm-hmm. And I believe we have made an impact.
And how did G25 originally come into being? You know, did it start because, you know, someone was the impetus for it? Did somebody begin it all?
As I've said, this was out of our grave concern at the direction the country was heading. And a few of us got together and started with the open letter addressed to the Prime Minister, which was basically on harmonizing the Sharia laws with the civil laws. This was at the end of 2014, I think. I was approached at that time and asked whether I would like to sign this joint letter, but unfortunately I was overseas. So as soon as I returned in January, I joined the group. So it was quite a natural. And this was something unheard of before. You know, I mean, we are all retired senior civil servants getting together and becoming the social activists because we felt that we had to do something.
Who are the other members involved in G25?
Oh, we have now about 50 people already. There are a few who are actually very active, like Tan Sri Muhammad Sharif Kasim, Datuk Latifah, Datuk Noor Farida, quite a good number. And we meet from time to time. And as I've said, because of our collective knowledge and experience, we form little groups, you know, to work on the projects.
You mentioned also that, you know, there are principles that are part of the foundation of our nation.
Yes.
What would you say is the vision of our founding fathers? You know, how would you understand what they envisioned?
Actually, what they envisioned is embodied in our federal constitution. They wanted to see this country progressed as a modern, secular, multiracial, and having the freedom of religion as what they envisage would be the future for the country. And as you can see, I think this has been derailed. This has been derailed through racial and religious extremisms, which, as I've said, is happening on virtually daily basis.
And when we talk about the federal constitution, in other countries, there is a very specific, very purposeful division of religion and state. But yes. In Malaysia, for whatever reason, they have become intertwined. What is the role of Islam in a constitutional democracy, as we're seeing in our country?
Well, as you know, in the constitution, it is stated that Islam is the religion of the country. But the constitution itself is secular. It is not, it's not Islamic. But because of this, now there's some confusion in the sense that people believe that religion should take priority over the constitution, which is not right. Which is not right. And because of that, it is difficult to separate between the secular constitution and religion. Now, what is our group trying to do? We are right now making a study of this. Going back to the time when the religious institutions were established, right up to the present day, and trying to see what is actually the role of a religion vis-a-vis the constitution. And once we are ready with the study of Islamic institutions, we will take up the matter with the leaders from both sides of the political divide, and let's get their views, and perhaps we can go forward from there to try to harmonize things.
How is the study being conducted?
We have a group doing this, and we also engage outsiders who are very knowledgeable and experts in religion to help us out. It is an ongoing study. I can't say when we'll be completing this, but we are on it. We are on it right now. Yeah.
I'm speaking today with Tan Sri Awie Jantan, a member of G25. Up next, we try to untangle the issue of liberalism. You are listening today to Live and Learn. I'm Lee Chui Lin, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. My guest today is Tan Sri Awie Jantan, a member of G25, a group that was formed in order to try to correct some of the, I guess, the wrongs or the misdirections that they see the country heading towards. And part of G25's mission statement is that Islam must be administered in a manner that ensures justice to Muslims and non-Muslims alike. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, as I've said earlier, this needs an in-depth study on the Islamic institutions in the country and on their roles. For example, like JAKIM, what is the role of Jakim? So we're not quite clear, because religion falls under the jurisdiction of the rulers of the states. And of course, in the federal territories under the Agong. But where does Jakim stand in all this? My understanding is that when Jakim was first established, it was meant to be an advisory body, not an executive body. But it has taken on the executive role. And to whom does this report? It looks like Jakim is reporting to the minister in charge of religion in the Prime Minister's department. But that is not correct. Because religion is not under the government. Religion is under the king, or under the Yang Di Pertuan Agong. These are all the issues that we need to look into. And as I've said, try to harmonize all this, you know, in line with the federal constitution.
I was also reading that G25 is committed to pursuing a vision of Malaysia through the Islamic principles of Wasatia and Maqasid Sharia. Could you tell us more about both of those principles?
Well, these are the principles accepted by the government, you know, which is supposed to be quite liberal, you know, and non-sectarian. So everybody should be able to accept all this, you know. And why must we import the Middle Eastern sectarian conflict into this country, you see? This is one of the issues that we have to look into. And next, related to this, is our culture. You see the trend now, which is regarded as the gradual Arabization of this country, which has nothing to do with religion. Arab culture and the Muslim religion are two separate issues. But why must people get confused in this? I liked what the president of Indonesia said recently, President Jokowi. He said, we have our own beautiful culture, which he calls the Budaya Nusantara. We don't have to adopt Arab culture. We can be Muslim, but not by not adopting Arab culture, including copying their style of dress, so on and so forth. And what he said actually can be applied to this country as well.
Is there a fundamental misunderstanding of what Sharia law and, you know, these basic principles of Islam and culture, is there a misunderstanding of what they are?
I think that is confusion. And that's why in our open letter, we called the government to set up a consultative council to harmonize all these things. And we call on the Prime Minister, but the Prime Minister said, you make the study and put up your recommendations to us. So that is exactly what we are doing now. But it does take time. This is not a simple matter.
Liberalism has often been placed in opposition to Islam and Malaysian culture. You know, it's recently, for some reason, had a reputation as a bad word of sorts. Why is this so? Why has this happened?
I regard myself as a liberal. I was brought up as a liberal, and so are my friends, I think, in G25. But within the confines of our religion. When I'm saying I'm a liberal, I'm not for homosexuality or gay marriage, things like that. Those are the Western concept of liberalism. Our concept is within, as I've said, the confines of the religion. But at the same time, by being liberal, we should be able to interact with other communities, you know, interact with other communities, live harmoniously, respect other religions as well. That's what it is all about. That's what, to me, liberalism is all about.
In an article written by Wan Saiful Wanjan in The Star this year, and also something you've said earlier in our interview, he pointed out that liberalism has actually shaped our country through the years, even from our independence. Has our understanding of what it means to be a liberal Malaysian in general, has that changed?
Well, some people are interpreting liberalism in a very conservative manner. I think that is what has changed. And then they try to bring in issues that are supposed to be the Western liberalism. That is the situation right now.
And is the moderate Malaysian Muslim voice able to be heard today? I mean, earlier you said that you're hoping that you will represent or be a part of a silent majority.
I think we are being heard. And as I've said, we are working with like-minded organizations, about 70 over of such organizations on a number of issues. And then we are now working with the youth organizations as well. We are planning to have a youth forum next year. And then we hope also to spread our message to the rural areas, you know. So I think we are making progress in this. But of course, many of these people, they don't speak out, you know. I mean, they listen to us. They give us their silent support. But they are not the type who would go to the streets and you know, support us.
In your opinion, why is it so important that moderate voice continues to be a part of the conversation?
When our Prime Minister came to power, he introduced this One Malaysia concept, which to us was the concept of moderation. And he also championed moderation on the international stage. But over time, it appears that this has been forgotten. And extremism has taken over, racial and religious extremism. That is really the issue.
With that said, how can we continue to negotiate this balance of moderation, of tolerance for culture and religion and race as we mature as a nation? You know, we always tout ourselves as a multicultural nation, and indeed we are. But of course, these tensions and these sort of growing divisions can make that difficult.
I agree with you. It is difficult. But so far as our group is concerned, we just soldier on with our various messages, as you must have seen on our website, trying to spread our messages as much as possible. And at the same time, we are working on institutional reforms to ensure that we have good governance in this country. And it will continue to be well managed and without corruption. And this is the overall concept as we see it, you know. It has to come under good governance for the country as a whole. And then hopefully all these extremist ideas will eventually die out. And we are back on track as envisioned by our founding fathers.
You mentioned that one big piece of research that's ongoing at the moment. What other activities and work does G25 have lined up?
Now, on good governance, we feel that the MPs ought to exercise the oversight on the government. We have already the Public Accounts Committee. There could be a few other parliamentary committees, like on finance, on defense, so that, as I've said, there will be this oversight. This system is in practice in other Commonwealth countries, and we are doing research on this at the moment. Once we are ready, we'll put up our proposals to the leaders from both sides of the political divide, hoping to get their support. That is another project we are doing at the moment. And of course, on corruption, so we have been involved in studying political financing. I think you are aware of this. And the Ministry of National Unity now has come up with specific proposals on this as well. But ours go a bit more than what their proposals are. At the moment, we are talking to the Chambers of Commerce as the stakeholders on this. And when we are ready, we'll again put up our proposals to the leaders from both sides of the political divide.
What would a Malaysia, an ideal Malaysia, shaped by the principles put out in G25, what would that Malaysia look like?
Malaysia should look exactly like was ambitions by our leaders. You know, a modern, progressive, secular, multiracial, multireligious country. That's what it is. We were on track until now. That is the problem.
And lastly, what are your hopes for the future of the country? What are your worries and what are your hopes?
Well, I'm worried at, as I've said, the direction the country is heading. But I still have hopes, very high hopes, that we should be able to correct this and be back on tracks. If not, we'll be following the directions of some countries in South America, Pakistan, for example, whereby we are not progressing, but we are regressing. And then we might even end up as a failed state. There's no choice. There's no choice. We have got to go against all these trends.
Thank you very much for coming in today and speaking with us. I've been speaking today with Tan Sri Alwijantan, a member of G25, and we've been discussing G25's role in hopefully facilitating a conversation that would bring our country forward. You are listening today to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.